Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
How can God use you? How can God touch the lives of people around you? What can you do to make a difference? You should be careful to maintain good works. And then it says, these things are good and profitable towards men. Now, sometimes the good works that we do show up naturally.
Our salvation does not come because of works. The Bible tells us it is by grace through faith and grace alone that we are saved. But Scripture says there are good works that follow our salvation. Those works are the fruit of our lives that show we are genuine followers of Christ. We're in part two of our study in Ephesians 2, 10 through 13 with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Listen to what Psalms 139 says about you being created. It says, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. What a great thing for the psalmist to think about. You having some trouble with your self-esteem, with who you are, with what you can do? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was formed in secret. From the time that you were in the womb, God was already at work inside of you. He was creating you to be someone in the womb. Now, it goes on to say in verse 10 that you were created in Christ Jesus for good works. And I got to say to you, it's going to be really hard for me not to get stuck here. Because when it comes to works, we know that there's nothing connected to salvation, right? We're saved by grace. We're saved by mercy. The love of God finds us. And it's nothing to do with me. I said it last week. I can't jump high enough. I can't do enough good works. I can't speak in tongues enough. I can't get baptized enough. There's nothing I can do to get saved. God has to be the one who draws me. God did the work on the cross. And then God did the forgiving work when I invited him in by faith into my life. Works were not connected at all. So we could get the idea that what we do for Christ doesn't really matter. Because works have nothing to do with our salvation. We can't do any works to get saved. By the way, when you turn into a group that believes that you have to work in order to be saved, you got to go knocking on doors, you got to be baptized to be saved, these kind of works in order for salvation, that becomes a cult. And so it has so much nothing to do with it. But now it says created in Christ Jesus for good works. So he created me as a masterpiece to do the works God's called me to do. Now the works become, and I'll use this side of the pulpit for this one, now the works become the evidence that I've really been saved. When I begin to do things for God now, you can see that God has changed me. I talked about the transformative power of God, and now I'm beginning to do things for him. This happened to me very early on in my Christian faith. Meeting the Lord at 14 years old, I wanted to be used by God almost immediately. And some of them were false starts. Some of them were not very good. Well, one thing, I had purchased a guitar. At this point, I'm probably 15 years old. And I think I want to be a worship leader. So I get together some of my Christian friends. And I'm like, let's have a worship night and let's pray. I've got my guitar. I'll lead in worship. Graciously, they were willing to receive that. I started playing it, and when I got to the second song, one of my friends, a guy by the name of Keenan Boer, says to me, we're not going to do this. That's the way he cut it off. Was like, that was his way of saying, this is bad, and this is brutal, and we're not going to sit here while you try to lead us in worship. I learned very quickly that I am not one to be a worshiper. Now, after that, when people would say, well, what do you think you're going to be? Now, I'd already wanted to be a pastor. That happened very early. When I was 12 years old, before I was even saved, I told my mother, I want to be a pastor because they work one day a week. It's a lot different than that, but that's what I told her. So now at 16 and 17 years old, I'm a sold out Christian. I'm reading my Bible. I'm listening to Chuck Smith, Raul Reese, J. Vernon McGee tapes every day. I'm ditching classes so I could go sit in my car and listen to cassette tapes about the Bible. Little did I know that my ditching was preparing me for what I would end up doing. God was at work doing that. So I'm not saying kids to ditch, by the way. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that that's what God did. So people began to ask me still more, what do you want to do, Robert? What do you want to become? And so I started telling people, I want to become a counselor. I thought, I can do that. I can be a counselor. I can help people through their struggles. Now, when God did his work and I became a pastor, this is back in 1985, and our church was small and there was no one else there. You know, when you begin a church planting is not for the faint of heart. So we plant the church. I'm doing everything. I'm doing the bulletins, which wasn't really good because I struggle with spelling. So it wasn't really good. People come in and go, I don't know who want to come to this church. Look at this. I don't know about this. I was doing everything, and I started to counsel. I counseled. This might have been part of the problem all day long. 9 a.m. was my first session until like 8 p.m, which meant 9 p.m. So 12 hours of counseling. 12 hours of hearing about people's problems, but 12 hours of hearing brutality. Not only just I'm struggling in this area, but this is happening to me, that's happening to me, we're doing this, we're fighting each other, we're trying to murder each other. I had all kinds of things happening in counseling. I remember that on Tuesdays, the last person would leave and I would put my head down on the desk and think, I can't do this. What I learned is, even though I had said for years, I want to be a counselor, I wasn't a good counselor. Now, the lack of training may have been part of the problem. They're coming to someone who hasn't been trained, and that could be part of the problem. But I ended up cutting back counseling to 5 o'clock, and then I ended up going to noon, and then I ended up doing a couple of weeks. And then we had people who were skilled in counseling, who had backgrounds in counseling, and they were able to step in and do it. God had something completely different planned. What I'm saying is, there might be false starts. You might go, this is what I'm going to do. And then you begin to do it, and it's not what you're going to do at all. But God is able to direct you. I heard Elizabeth Elliot, Jim Elliot's wife, I heard her speak at Casa Sanobis Church years ago. She said, you could steer a moving car. But a parked car, you can't steer. And if you get moving, do something for God. He's able to steer you in the right direction. So her encouragement was just get involved anywhere you can in ministry. Find something you're interested in. If you're in the wrong place, God can steer you to the right place once you get involved. I loved that. Now, these are not generic. They are profitable to men. Let me get to this next part here. Created for good works, which I said I'm going to spend the most time on. These are not generic. They're profitable to men. God's going to use you to make it profitable. My wife edits my notes, and she put men and then in parentheses, and women. She wanted to make sure we understood. Titus 3:8 says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to confirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Now, not good works for salvation, but once we've come to Christ, we should be careful to maintain good works. How can God use you? How can God touch the lives of people around you? What can you do to make a difference? You should be careful to maintain good works. And then it says, these things are good and profitable towards men. Now, sometimes the good works that we do show up naturally. We're just interacting in our lives and we run into someone who is in need. Jesus said, if you give a glass of water in my name, you will by no means lose your reward. So sometimes you just run into a family that maybe has a struggle with their baby and you're able to come alongside and help them. There's no fanfare. You're not getting any pats on your back. You're just simply saying, I want to come alongside and help you where you are. The Bible says, do good to all men, but especially to those of the household of the faith. Sometimes it's a little harder to find our slot. Like I struggled a little bit with finding the slot that God wanted me in that would end up being profitable to men. Sometimes there's that difficulty that's there. but God is able to bring you about to where you can be used. I think of the poor man and the rich man. The rich is in there. They both die on the same day, right? And this has a lot to say about the afterlife, but I want to just consider how they lived. The Bible says the rich man lived luxuriously, and the poor man sat at his gates and ate the crumbs from the rich man's table, and the dogs licked his sores. You couldn't have two people who live more differently. The rich man had plenty of excess, and he couldn't even help a man at his gate. It wasn't about him going and looking for someone to help. It was that he couldn't even help a man at his gate. The first thing we do is we look around. We are the hands and we are the feet of Jesus. And we are called to good works as fruit that we've come to Christ. And so we begin to help those that are struggling that we see. If you don't see those who are struggling, then maybe you help some ministries that are helping people that are in difficulties. Maybe you help Gospel Rescue Mission or Salvation Army. Maybe you help with our food pantry. Right now, by the way, we're giving out more and more food all the time. So it tells you something's happening, at least in our community, where people are in need of food more than ever. But you look for opportunities, first of all, at your own gate, and you step through those. You come alongside and help people. It might be someone that has some medical struggle that's going on, and they just need someone to come along and provide for them. Cooking meals. Jesus again said, if you give a glass of water in my name, then you will by no means lose your reward. So we're not talking about really grand things, although that might be there. You might do something really grand for God and for people, but even giving a glass of water to a thirsty person, you're not going to get a reward for giving a glass of water to a person who's already satiated. You don't walk up to somebody like, let me give you a glass of water because I want a reward. And they're like, I'm not thirsty. I just drank a bottle of water. So we're looking for someone that has a need, right? Let me go to our second point, which is verses 11 and 12. And this is remembering our past. You were created in Christ Jesus like a masterpiece for good works. They were prepared for you beforehand. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time today talking about predestination because I've already done it in Ephesians. If you still struggle with that, go back and listen to the first two studies, and we're going to deal with predestination. But I read verses in the Bible that tell us God, through his foreknowledge, chooses you and predestines you. In other words, God knows that you're going to become a Christian. You're going to make a commitment to him. By his foreknowledge, he then creates works for you to walk in. So God has prepared them before the foundations of the world. So now what you got to do is you're like Finding Waldo. Where are those things that have been prepared for me since before the foundations of the world for me to be able to do? Now, verses 11 and 12 are a little bit difficult to grasp. He's talking about remembering who you were and where you came from. He says, therefore, remember that you were once Gentiles in the flesh. You are called uncircumcised by that which is circumcision, made by the flesh of hands. Those who were part of what God was doing were calling you uncircumcised, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. There were those in Israel who were following God. There were those who weren't, but there were those who were, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So you weren't part of Israel, you had no hope, and you were without God in the world, but God, through his loving kindness, his mercy, and his grace, found me. Found a 14-year-old who was born in Iowa, moved at 5 years old to Albuquerque, and God found me in that state. He had to come looking for me because I wasn't going to find him where I was. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So reflecting on my past should not lead me to shame. When I realized I was apart from him, I attended a church. I thought I was okay because I believed God existed, but I'd never been born again. I'd never invited him into my life, and I was doing things I shouldn't do. I was the guy at 14 years old who was attending church but not living for Christ in any other way. Reflecting on our past should not lead us to shame, but to the awe of God's grace that reaches into our brokenness. We are apart from Him. We are alienated from God, and His grace reaches into our brokenness. And that's what he talks about in these two verses. Don't get too big of a head. Don't think that you are someone special because you were created as a masterpiece and that God has works for you to work in, created before the foundations of the world. Remember where you were before you came to Christ and that God came in and reached for you. Now we go to verse 13. This is the last of the verses we're going to cover today. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He now goes back to the way in which you and I have come to him. We were afar off from him. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that you will not hear. And so God ends up doing that work inside of us by the blood of Christ. This is why we take communion, so that we can go back and remember who we were and what Jesus did. We focus in on the cross, but also that this cross took us when we were alienated from God, and by shedding his blood, he brought us back into a relationship with him. Again, this keeps us from being prideful. So we take communion remembering the body that was broken, the nails that were driven through that flesh and into that tree, and they hung him up between heaven and earth, and he died and he bled for us that we could find salvation. Colossians 1, 19 and 20, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So it says the same thing that the verse says. We who were afar off, and this is Ephesians 2, 13, we who were afar off have now been drawn near by the blood of Christ. His blood was innocent. He was tempted in every way that we were tempted, and yet without sin. So the innocent blood of Christ was shed for all of humanity, that anyone who would say, Lord, forgive me, I want you in my life, I confess that I'm a sinner, I have sinned against you, God, and let me now walk with you. I invite you into my life and I surrender myself to you. Now, three things in closing. Number one, our identity as God's workmanship or masterpiece or poem comes out of our newfound relationship through grace. The passage, you have been saved by grace, not of works, comes before. You are his masterpiece created for good works, created before the foundations of the world for you to walk in. So we come by him by grace first, then we find those things. What an amazing thought. We are created for good works in Christ. That's why we were created. That's what the passage says. Think about it. Created for good works. So as a believer, have you discovered what those good works are? They are the fruit, they are the evidence, but they are good works that you've been called to. Number three, we are reconciled and have new life in Christ through the great love by which he loved us, revealed by the gift of his shedding blood for us on the cross. And the next time that we take communion, we want to remember that. I want to do something a little different next time we take communion. We normally do it on a Wednesday night. I want to do it on the first weekend of the month, on this coming up month. I want us to do it so that more of us can be involved in taking communion. We get more people on a Wednesday night that has communion than we get on a normal Wednesday night, but we still have a lot of people who aren't there. So we're going to do that. And let me just say that we want to make sure that our lives are right when we do that. So who are you? You're a Christian. What are you called to? The works that he's planned for you to do, that he's given you gifts and talents for. And how do you do it? They're planned and they're prepared for you. You start looking around to see how God would use you in that way. And may God use you to the completeness of the work that he's given you to do. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that we're able to look at this amazing passage, that we are created in you as a masterpiece for good works for us to walk in. Lord, we're so used to saying that works are no good for salvation, but they certainly are good as fruit to show that we have genuinely been saved. So I pray that you would open up doors for us to be able to walk in it. And I pray that we would, first of all, look at our own gate, as it were, look around us, see what kind of people are there that we might be able to help. And remember, this doesn't need to be an overly grand job, Lord, but just that it's giving a glass of water in your name, it's helping someone who's in a real need, but it may be something that really is grand and really makes a difference in their lives. Use us as your people in this way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, you've never found the grace. You're thinking about how am I going to do good works because you've never given your life to him. The Bible says as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. Jesus said you must be born again or you will not see the kingdom of heaven. That means you have to have the experience of having your spirit brought to life. And you have power over the door of your life. If you don't want to serve him, you don't have to. If you say, I don't want to be a Christian, then you don't have to. But know that you will one day be judged as you live on your own, that this is the opportunity for you to come close and have your sins forgiven and begin the walk that God wants you to do. If you're here today and you want to give your life to Christ, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple but profound for your life. Right where you are, just raise your hand, saying, I'm done living for myself. I'm ready to live for him. I want my sins forgiven. I want God to use me. I want God to empower me. God bless you. Thank you. All right, I would look like everyone, including the one who raised their hand, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin separates me from you. I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you. As a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. How exciting.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org. where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.